Assessing a person's legal matter often requires extensive interviews, review of contracts and documents, and research of the current state of the law on the issues involved. As a result, the information provided by the attorneys and guests of All Things Legal is given for informational purposes only. It is not to be construed as legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Communications with the attorneys on this program, whether verbal or digital, do not create an attorney-client relationship.
Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri. Michelle Demers, Cinceri, All Things Legal. We're here for hour number three. We'll be here till 11 o'clock. We are leading up to the double take with Seth and Steve Court. 1 o'clock countdown. Fans first take. Fans first take. And then we have 1 o'clock. We have countdown to kickoff. 3:25 kickoff with Zach and Deuce. And we just got back in time because we went and got water.
Yeah, and they lifted the ban.
They lifted the ban. Praise God. You know what? These Eagle fans come in here and they say, man, we got a beautiful city. We got a fantastic French Quarter. We got a fantastic riverfront. Had Pelicans game last night. Had the Saints game last night, but they don't have running water.
And Starbucks was closed this morning.
Starbucks was closed. Man, what kind of – I mean, you know, I can't figure it out.
But anyway, the water boil has been lifted.
For you, huh?
They said flush your pipes out before you use your water.
So there you go. And so – all right, but anyway, I could go on a rant, but I'm not. And you know, before we grab the phone line with Mickey, LSU has a chance to get into the playoffs.
I know.
And here's the scenario: the eternal optimist I am, is all this has to happen. Is first of all, Georgia just needs to lose to Georgia Tech or Alabama in the championship game at the SEC. One of those two games. Washington State only needs to lose to Washington or in the Pac-10 championship. Then Northwestern has to beat Michigan or Ohio State in the Big Ten championship.
Is that a possibility?
Yes.
Okay.
All this is possibilities.
All right.
And then.
That's what I was thinking.
And then Oklahoma, with all due respect to our friend Nathan, has to lose to West Virginia and LSU's in. It could happen.
And is Oklahoma going to lose to West Virginia?
Yes, they could.
I'm sorry, Nathan, but yeah.
They're about 50-50. If you had to go, it's about 50-50.
So this is all askew from last night when Maryland had to win.
Maryland would have been helpful because Ohio State would have had two losses, and if they beat Michigan, they take Michigan out the picture. So they had these dominoes, but these same dominoes had to occur in 2007, and they did. And it happened the same way. Pitt upset West Virginia. They had all kinds of other things that occurred, and LSU went in. Now, LSU, if they did get in, they would get the privilege of playing Alabama again. But let me tell you, well, they could play that Alabama that played the first half of the Citadel game at 10-10.
That was amazing.
They could beat that team.
There you go.
You know, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up until they say it's impossible.
All right.
So it could happen.
It could happen.
Oh, Dave is telling me it's impossible. It's not impossible.
It's not impossible until the time has passed.
Look, Thursday, they're going to start playing Friday because I think a lot of the games are Friday. Just watch those games, and if they start falling the right way, LSU
could
be.
I can tell what we're going to be doing on Friday, right?
No. We'll do other things, too.
It's my anniversary, too.
It's our anniversary. That's right. Well, that's why we're down here this weekend.
I know.
We're playing tourist. All right, let's go to well, this is a natural transition. LSU football and burial at sea, okay? We got Mickey. Mickey's got a question regarding burial at sea. Hey, Mickey, you and All Things Legal with Doug Cinceri. Michelle Demers, Cinceri.
How you doing, Doug?
Good. What's happening, man?
Yeah, I like your acknowledge. Go Tigers.
That's right. Go. I'm still working on my imitation of Coach O saying, go Tigers, go Tigers.
Okay, all right. If I wanted to be buried at sea in Louisiana, I really want to be buried at Bayou Avenue. You know, I'll be cremated when I pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any laws that prohibit, you know, burial at sea?
Well, I think Michelle's sort of briefed, has been briefed on this in the last 20 seconds. What you got?
20 seconds. There are laws. You don't need a funeral director, but I found some companies that do it, but you can't just go and throw your ashes in the water. Now, I'm assuming from a pragmatic standpoint, if nobody sees you, but the, you know, there are rules and regulations.
Michelle's not telling you to
I'm asking, Doug, I'm a retired military, and I was in Vietnam and all, and, yeah, and you know, I made a will, and I made a will now that I'm out the military, and is it a military, can I call it a Navy or whatever?
Yes, you can.
And have them, you know, take me out wherever in the Gulf or anything and have my ashes spread?
Yes, you can. Yeah, you just have to contact the U.S. Navy and they can help you.
Okay. All right, well, thank y'all. And go Saints and go Tigers.
That's right. That's right. This is good times in South Louisiana. Thanks for the call.
We have some texts if you want to go.
Well, you know what? Now, maybe we ought to talk about, you know, I mean, one day I'm going to leave this earth. I mean, would you think about maybe putting my ashes in the West Esplanade Canal where I grew up near there?
Your mother's going to love that.
Huh? Near West Esplanade and Bonneville, just have a little ceremony.
We could just throw them in there.
This is where Doug used to play and, you know, rode his bike.
As much as you like the water, I just can't imagine.
No. So anyway, I guess, you know, Newell Norman, if he was sheriff, I don't think he'd have a problem with it. Huh?
No, probably not.
Okay. Right. What do you have?
We have some text. We have it's a spousal support issue.
Okay, that's your wheelhouse.
That's my wheelhouse.
It's
been 3 years, approximately $25,000. Her monthly income needs have been reduced as she's moved into her mother's home. Can I reduce or discontinue the support, and do I have to file in the same parish? The question is, you can file a motion to reduce as long as it wasn't contractual where you've obligated yourself and it's non-modifiable. You have to go back to the same courthouse. You can't shop. Yeah, wherever your spousal support claim was filed is where you need to go in and file for a reduction or a modification.
You call that forum shopping when you're looking for you. All right, let's talk about, you know what, I wanted to ask you about this, because a lot of people ask me about alimony these days. And alimony is now called spousal support.
Correct.
It's called either temporary spousal support or final spousal support. Now, 30 years ago when I started doing this, it seemed like alimony was a bigger issue, but it doesn't seem as for final spousal support, not temporary.
Correct.
Well, first of all, tell us how temporary spousal support works.
They just changed the law on temporary spousal support interim.
There you go.
It's now goes for 18 months. It's 6 months post judgment of divorce, where it used to be before it could stop on the date the judgment of divorce was rendered. Now it goes automatically for 18 months. And it's really you just have to prove a need and an ability to pay. So if you can't meet your monthly expenses and there's a gap and your spouse or your soon-to-be ex-spouse has leftover money at the end of the month, then they can be made to fill that gap. And it's to keep you in the lifestyle and what you were accustomed. So whatever expenses you had while you were married, you still get to keep those expenses on your sheet. For final support, it's basically really just living expenses. It's your roof over your head, your utilities. First Circuit cases these days are saying doesn't even cover DirecTV or any kind of internet. It's really just basic living needs, housing, insurance, automobile, and utilities. And that's discretionary with the court. You have to prove at first, though, that you're not at fault. So it's a higher burden. At least in St. Tammany Parish, it's not something that's very much favored. I don't really know in Jefferson Parish. Do they favor final support?
I don't see it a lot, especially because most of the time you have most spouses working. And
right.
In those cases, when both spouses are working, it just generally doesn't happen.
Right. And they also take a look at what you get in the community. They're not going to make you spend down your 401k or anything. But if you're getting substantial cash in the bank, at least our judges are looking at what kind of interest you can earn on that money. So that goes with to your need or your means.
Because I think those our society's changed a lot
in
how families function. You know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, usually had one parent earning income, one parent, you know, mom was staying home.
Right.
And in those scenarios where you had more of the, I guess, Leave It to Beaver type scenarios, you had alimony was much more in play if you had a divorce, even though Mrs. and Mrs. Cleaver probably wouldn't be ever get divorced.
Right.
But if they did, it would be an alimony situation where you'd have final I'm saying alimony, final spousal support. But today, with both spouses working, it's fewer and far between.
Yeah, yeah. I've only had one where we got the maximum, and it went on for the remainder of her life. And she was an older, a very much older woman who was in the middle of the divorce, hadn't worked for 40 years.
Right.
And so we were able to get it final and get it, you know, for
so
the rest
it's,
of her
it
life.
Seems to be more the exception than the rule.
It is. And it doesn't cover everything. It's just your basic living expenses.
And, you know, one of the things I do to mentally prepare someone who's getting divorced, I mean, there are so many different dimensions to this. There's the emotional dimension. And a lot of people say, well, you know what? I'm going to get divorced. It's going to be better. And I'm like, it's going to be different. I can't say it's going to be better. It may be better in some ways, but I can guarantee you in other ways it's not. Not to say you shouldn't do it or shouldn't do it. I'm not making a judgment on that. But before, you had basically two incomes paying one set of bills.
Correct.
Now you will have one income paying two set of bills.
Or two incomes that were making one household, and now you have to split that in half. So it doesn't matter really for me. I have rarely seen clients where it doesn't matter how much money they have, they're not negatively affected, because if you're making a ton of money, you're usually spending a ton of money. And
right.
So that's what you're used to spending, and that's what you're used to living on.
And that's the point, is that from a financial standpoint, I'm like saying, you're not going to be made whole. You're not even close to made whole. You're going to have to radically alter your lifestyle in order to accommodate your new economic situation.
Right. I've had a handful of cases where that wasn't the case at the end of the day, but that was more the exception than the rule.
Right. So, you know, it's just they do have, it has consequences.
Sure.
And you know, because you're splitting everything in half,
right?
And but you only got one income, dealing with 100% of the bills sometimes.
Right. And what we see a lot too is, especially even if you were savers, a lot of times you were saving in your pension, in your annuity, in your 401k, and so those aren't readily it's not cash on hand,
right?
So you can have a high estate, but the estate is in funds that are tied up.
All right. Well, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers, Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers, Cinceri. Let's go to phone lines. Mike's got a question regarding divorce. Hey, Mike, you on All Things Legal. What you got for us?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you good, brother. Don't hear you now.
We lost him.
We lost him. All right. He was on a question on divorce. Maybe he was having an issue with his wife at the time. So
we have a text on another one.
Okay.
It says, what if the reason for divorce is the spouse refuses to work when she has a degree and her profession pays $30 to $35 per hour? This has been going on for 5 years. Why should I pay her to arbitrarily just quit work because I make twice that?
That's a personal issue.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
If the family made a decision that a spouse wouldn't work and somebody gets divorced,
that's an interesting question.
The argument's going to be that she wasn't working. It depends on what age the children are. Will they impute income or will they not impute income? But imputation of income can be an issue in spousal support.
And they will at some point.
They will at some point.
Because they're going to say, if you have the education and the ability to work at
Correct.
Some point, not maybe you got issues regarding the ages of child's.
Right.
At some point, they're going to say,
at least our judges over in St. Tammany Parish, one of them will impute income rather quickly, depending upon the age of the children.
Right. So it's just a.
So Mr. Tex, you can get the income imputed.
Right. But as far as if they're.
If you have a child under the age of 5, the law says that the mom or the caretaker does not have to go to work, so usually they will not impute income at that point.
But after five years old, they'll take a look at you and see what kind of educational background, your work history.
Right, and then, if you're like a cosmetologist, they'll take a look at the wage labor survey and see what the medium average is in Louisiana and impute that income to you.
That. All right, well, we got another half hour of All Things Legal before we lead into the Fans' First Take with Steve Court and Seth Dunlop. We're going to CBS Up News Update. We're going to local news. We should be back in about 4 minutes and All Things Legal. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers, Cinceri, All Things Legal. We're on till 11. Then we got Fans' First Take with Seth and Steve Court. 1 o'clock, countdown to kickoff, and kickoff with Deuce and Zach at 3:25. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Mike. He's got a question regarding divorce. Hey, Mike, you and all things legal with Doug Cinceri. Michelle Demers Cinceri.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I wanted to sharpen up. I had a question about fault and final support. You know, what if you're in a, let's say you have a person, you know, I saw this recently on the news. We had a person that makes, you know, good money and a spouse that could work but don't. And one of the, let's say somebody in the marriage does something terribly wrong. You know, does that affect the final support, or is that, it doesn't matter?
It affects the final support. It doesn't affect the interim support or the temporary support. Because in order to get final, you have to first prove you're free from fault in the demise of the marriage. And then once you get over that hurdle, then you have to prove that you have a need and the other party has the ability to pay.
So, and that's in every municipality. It's everywhere.
That's in Louisiana. That's the law in Louisiana.
Got it. Hey, guys, thanks. You'll do a great job.
No problem.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Let's go to Julie's got a question regarding videotaping without consent. Hey, Julie, you and all things legal with Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, a little complicated. I'm a healthcare worker. We are mandated by HIPAA laws, especially video and audio taping. Have a sign posted on our facility, you know, that no video or audio taping. Mm-hmm. Security tells me that if someone is caught, you know, doing that, they will just be asked at best to leave the property. Mm-hmm. However, there is a family member of a resident who secretly has a secret, although it's not secret because we all know about it, but she doesn't know we know about it, secretly setting up cameras and stuff. And not only is she videoing any healthcare worker that comes in the room, but there's a roommate as well. And so anyone in and out with the roommate and the roommate themselves, as they come in and out of the room, they're all also being videotaped. And no one is aware. She is not part of this video. I know Louisiana is a one-party state as far as if you're part of the audio or video recordings, then it's, quote, legal.
Well, that's audio. That's not necessarily video.
Oh, okay.
No, video.
My question is this just policy and removal, or is there a criminal aspect to this?
Well, you got criminal and civil. You got two different parts. If there's an expectation of privacy, then videotaping is illegal. For example, if you are videotaping someone in their
in the bathroom,
or something where there's an expectation of privacy. Now, if it's in public, in a public place, there's no expectation of privacy, so that probably would not be a violation civilly or criminally, unless somebody's doing it to harass you per se, if it's some kind of harassment that's over the top. So in a nursing home, or in some, is it a nursing home you're talking about?
It is.
Okay. Well, I would say that there's probably a lot of places there would be an expectation of privacy, which they would have to be disclosed. Maybe in certain areas where there are public areas, maybe at entrances,
Or common areas.
It would probably be okay to videotape. I think would probably be good policy for the nursing home is to put that policy in writing and say, look, we're going to videotape in these areas. You're aware of it. It's in common areas, and it's not in places where you have an expectation of privacy. So if they're doing it in a place where there's an expectation of privacy or there's going to be problems with it civilly and, you know, possibly criminally, depending on the facts and circumstances as to why they're doing it and what's the purpose.
It's not the nursing home that's doing it. It's a family member.
Yeah, family member, whoever.
Right.
Whoever.
Okay. And, yes, it's in the room. And, yes, there is a roommate. The roommate is not aware and,
I think that could be a problem, especially in a lot of homes and nursing homes. There's a lot of activities that occur, sometimes you're asked to step out because we got to, do some cleaning or do some type of certain things. So I would expect there would be somewhat of an expectation of privacy to that. And I think that would be a problem. And that could probably be best addressed by reporting that to the nursing home and asking them to take care of that problem.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. You got a text, Michelle?
Yeah, we have some text over here. It says, another divorce question. If a partner commits adultery and the other partner does not immediately divorce them several years after disclosure, is it still grounds for a divorce?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, now those people who take the bar exam, that's probably something that probably be in a bar exam, huh?
Yeah. No, the way the law would look at that, it has to be a reason for the demise of the marriage. If a partner or a spouse commits adultery and you stay with them, it's looked as reconciliation, and so that would really not be a grounds for divorce. And then it says, what is the time frame for living apart when a child reaches age 18, and it is 6 months?
Okay, I got one for you. I have one for you. Did I say God? I have one for you. You're going to correct me.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to ask you. You file for divorce, all right?
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
And they're separate and apart. And husband, ex-husband, soon to be ex-husband and wife, they have a few, they get lonely. And they get, a little needy, and they sort of have relations again. Do you have to start the clock over?
That's a factual call. Is that reconciliation?
Well, that's why I'm asking you.
Did you bring your clothes back in? Did you bring your toothbrush back in? And did you intend to reconcile, or did you just have a weak moment?
A weak moment or a lonely night, probably not. But if it was, you bring your toothbrush and bring your clothes.
Or you start marriage counseling, or you have some kind of element of intent to reconcile.
But we do give this advice, saying it's probably not a good idea to do it because it throws that issue into question.
It does. And then you could have to, if a court rules it's reconciliation, then it makes the whole thing fall.
And it makes it sort of awkward, too. Then you have to sort of be very... explain what occurred, when it occurred, and it's just like, oh, man. Yeah. So
here was a text that says, didn't legislation just pass allowing video in nursing homes with certain restrictions? And I don't do nursing home law, so I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I'm not.
It could have been. I don't know.
It could be.
I have no idea.
So that was the law according to Doug Cinceri.
There you go.
So there you go. All right, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief time out. Let's go to the phone lines. They're lighting up. Let's go to Vernon. He's got a question regarding buying a condo. Hey, Vernon, you're in All Things Legal.
So I'm thinking about buying a condo with my brother. So I live here permanently, but my brother lives out of town, and he's wanting to use it kind of as a second home.
Right.
And I don't know when I might be moving out of town, for work and stuff. So I was just wondering so the idea is I might rent my room out when I move, but then he could keep his room. It's a two-bedroom, two-bath. He could keep his room when I'm not there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I mean? Like, can you tell me, how I could legally set that up? Or have you ever heard of that?
Let me tell you, this is more pragmatic advice. Before you buy the condo, have all that worked out. In other words, just have an agreement saying, you could put it in an LLC, or you could, buy it together. Probably an LLC would be a good idea.
You do LLC, though, you can't get homestead, right?
No, you can't. But if that's your first home, then, well.
I don't think you can get a homestead exemption if you have
a home. Unless you can go to the assessor and say, look, it's my LLC and I live there.
So if you go to a real estate attorney to do something like this?
Yeah. But I think you have to have a personal agreement among yourself on how you're going to, the usage of the condo, if you're going to buy it with them. I mean, it's like getting married, you make certain agreements before, and
kind of like a prenup, I guess.
It's like a prenup for buying a condo among brothers. But
I missed it cheap. Would you happen to know of any sort of a template that I can maybe Google or something online? And I know you say you need to go through an attorney, and eventually I would, but I just wanted to look for some sort of a template
let me tell you. What you do is you just talk about it at first, and then you come.
There's a lot of stuff to talk about. Like how long do we want to hold on to it? Like, what do we do in the event someone dies? I don't know.
What I'm saying is you and your brother talk about the initial issues at first and sort of pare the issues down and then go see an attorney. You'll save your time and you'll save the amount of time you spend with the attorney, and he's dealing with the issues you have. But is there a template? I mean, I don't
probably
know.
Not to
probably
address
not.
All that. Unless you did it, and why, listening to him, an LLC is going to be best because you can have an operating agreement.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can't force somebody to.
The only way
you can force somebody to sell a piece of property is to do a partition.
I would put an LLC operating agreement, and the operating agreement contains the terms that you want to own the condo with your partner.
And then when we do rent, then there would be a benefit there as well, so that our personal
right.
assets aren't on the line. Okay,
and,
thank you all.
Thank you. Okay, same much. All right, he had a little coffee there, huh? Let's go to Tyrone. Hey, Tyrone, you and all things legal.
Yes, I was calling. I had a divorce, and it came to a situation where separate the retirement, and I don't have any idea what the retirement is because I was kind of kept in the dark, and I want to know whether would a quadro be the method of trying to find out what is. I mean, what's there?
No, a quadro is going to split it. A quadro is a qualified domestic relations order. That's the order that splits it. It's not the method by which you find out what it is. So if you have an attorney, you would issue discovery, and I'm assuming it's your spouse's 401k or retirement?
Yeah. Right. Well, it's actually 401. Yeah, my father's 401k. It's a pension. The pension and the 401k, I think, are two different things.
They are also
a pension.
They are.
Okay.
So you'd have to get two different quadros for that, but you would have to talk to your attorney and then issue discovery. If they're not turning over the documents to you that you're entitled to, then you can have formal discovery, and it'll be a court order that requires them to turn over the documents you need in order to get a quadro done.
Okay. Well, how about if possibly that the documents that they're turning over are fabricated? Because I had called, the company had changed over from one company to another. I had called, and one representative told me that the pension had been taken out. Okay, and from what I understand, the other spouse, supposed to be able to sign if they were married during that time. So
yeah, those are going to be issues you're going to have to talk to your attorney about to get discovery done. You can issue subpoenas to the different companies to determine exactly what the pension has, who the plan administrator is, and all of that.
So in other words, my attorney have to go under the discovery to get, instead of having to take the information from my spouse, which I think is fabricated.
Get it from the company administrator.
Okay, so my attorney
can get that.
They should know exactly what to do.
Is that the same? Okay, my attorney is saying that she don't do quadro, and she had to get another person.
Yeah,
That's not the quadro.
You're looking for discovery. Once you need a quadro done, then you hire the expert that does quadros.
Quadro step 10. You got to do step 1 through 9 first.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so she got to discover.
Okay. All right, let's go to break.
Thanks, Tyrone.
We'll be back in a minute. All things legal to wrap it up. What do you remember about that 9-game winning streak in 87?
Oh, wow. I mean, that was the strike year. So
yes,
it was,
that's what you're saying.
It was sort of a compilation of, a bunch of guys off the street and then some guys that didn't, strike. And, hey, you were playing teams that sort of were in that same thing. So it was the weirdest thing in the world. But, we just kept on winning. And it was one of those things that just, it'd be kind of sort of proliferate. And then once the teams were back, it was like, hey, you got that groundwork laid for you by a pretty good group. Yeah.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda was started.
Yeah, I remember that well.
Do you remember the Chicago Bear quarterback in the strike year?
Yeah, that was Sean Payton.
There you go. There you go.
Sure do. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, that must have been quite an experience. Taking New Orleans had lost 19 years, and they won 9 straight, went into the playoffs in Miami. That must have been a great 9
weeks.
Yeah,
I think it was the Steelers that year that we ended up sort of sealing the deal out there, and I think we got an interception in the end zone late to sort of seal the deal on that. But it was a great feeling, but at the same time, it came with this sort of bittersweetness of all that strike stuff going on, and it was kind of weird because it was like the guys did it, but it was only a portion of the guys that did it. And the other guys, there was only a couple that sort of stayed around, and the rest of them kind of did their job while they were here. They lost their job. Mercenaries, and then they were gone, you know?
All right. Well, great.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you next week on All Things Legal. Stay tuned for Fans First Take with Steve and Seth. Be good and be blessed. See you next week.